So there's speculation that Hitler was on drugs, or at least that his military, a good portion of them, is on drugs. And some people could say, "Oh, you're just making excuses. They were monsters, and you're just trying to explain why they were monsters, and you're trying to take away their guilt." No, there's actual evidence from Hitler's handshaking, that he was on cocaine. And even here in America, they used to prescribe cocaine. So yeah, we didn't know the things that we know now. There's a song, "Running for the Shelter of Mother's Little Helper." It's such a drag getting old. Well, yeah, that was Mother's Little Helper, I think. I don't know all the details, but wasn't that some sort of, well, it's some sort of illicit drug that used to be used. All right, so to people who haven't heard that before, I sound like a nut job just making stuff up. And to people who have heard it before, they can make fun of me for not knowing what the Mother's Little Helper, what the drug was, or whatever. And so I don't care. I mean, I can't worry about all of you. I think that the average person out there will Google it and know that I'm not making this up, and not be super proud of their knowledge about, illicit drug use. It's just one of the things I've heard on a podcast or show somewhere. I can't remember. Oh, well, if you did hear about it, you're a nerd. And if you didn't hear about it, okay, whatever. All right. So who cares? Well, even here in America, there's speculation that Trump is on cocaine. I mean, there's something wrong with him, right? Why would you say that? Oh, I don't know. I think Joe Rogan said it or something. Or someone else. I can't remember where I heard it, but it seems to make sense to me. He's not right. Okay, well, but that's not really my main point. Going back to what I've said previously, what are we going to be embarrassed of politically 200 years from now? What will our descendants judge us for? And what state of mind are our political leaders in? What states of mind have our political leaders been in when making decisions in past ages? Well, just to fully understand the full spectrum of what I'm talking about, another one of these tidbits of historical information that I'm not getting exactly right, but I know that there was an ancient civilization. I think it was like the Potamians or something. They before they went to war, made any important political decisions, they would argue about it, both drunk and sober. And what's the thinking there? Well, in addition to just being hilarious to watch, if anyone's ever watched Drunk History, it's where they describe history, but only they're drunk. And it's funny because the inhibitions are removed, all right? So you're on TV and you're talking about history. And it's interesting. Why do people like to get drunk? Well, the inhibitions are removed. And it's kind of interesting to get with a group of people and to say, "I trust you enough to remove my inhibitions around you and let you know what a person I am." Like, what kind of person I am when I'm not capable of hiding my true self. And the problem is when people remove their inhibitions, a lot of them are really crappy people. And but it's kind of nice using alcohol to know that. Well, what, how can we use altered states of consciousness to make better decisions? Again, I think it's the Mesopotamians or Babylonians. Are they the same? Did the Mesopotamians live in Babylon? Was Babylon part of Greater Mesopotamia? Or what? I think that they were related. But that's not the point. The point is the altered state of consciousness. And how will people of the future judge us when we're making political decisions? When our leaders are making political decisions? You know, I speculated Trump is on some sort of speed or some sort of thing that makes him act crazy. I've heard speculation that Hitler and, you know, that their army used it. It gives them energy, made them kind of supermen or whatever. Sarcasm intended. So there's a book called The Righteous Mind, and it says, you know, that Jesus was right, that it's easy to see the mote in someone else's eye when you have a freaking beam sticking in your own eye. Now, you ought to remove the beam from your own eye so that you can better see and remove the mote or the little sliver from someone else's eye. So, what are things that we're doing that are embarrassing? Well, we're all kind of on drugs. We're all addicted to dopamine. What is dopamine? Okay, well, it's the reward and punishment side of the brain. When you do something that your subconscious likes, it's going to give you a little hit of dopamine. And it is related to addiction. The cocaine and crack and the things that are addictive because they flood the brain in dopamine. And so how are we doing that? Well, the self-righteous condemnation of the other side, anytime that you get cheering for your side and, you know, you have bloodlust or, watching sports can be a therapeutic process because it can be an addictive process because, you know, you pick a side and you want your side to win and you get excited every time you're living vicariously through the athletes. And it's kind of like there's a power washing pornography Reddit. And by pornography, it's not literally human pornography where you see parts of the body or sexual acts. It's pornography in that it's gratifying emotionally, vicariously. People watch power washing pornography. You see something get power washed, and it's satisfactory in that you haven't actually done anything yourself, but it feels good to see something that's been power washed. Before and after, and you feel like you get a little hit of dopamine. It's like a sense of accomplishment. You see all this grime and dirt and yuckiness, and then you just see it flying away. And then you see something that you was old and it's become new again. And you feel a sense of accomplishment, even though you're sitting on your ass looking at your phone and you're not really accomplishing anything. And that's why they call it pornography, is you are living vicariously through someone else and you are getting a hit of dopamine, just like, you know, sexual experiences. They release something in you and there's a hit of, you know, the procreational biological urge is to procreate. And it's the same thing with anything that where your evolutionary development and where your body thinks that, hey, I need to reward this or I need to punish this, you know, your team. We've evolved to think of that which team I'm part of and which team I'm loyal to, and gaining my identity as my team membership. And so politics is nothing but they've done modern psychological analysis and studies and all of these tricks, people's brains under fMRI scans, and people think that they are thinking, and people think that they are thinking with reason, but really all of the things that we believe are we don't have access to anything except for the words. We have access to words, but the words aren't the real thoughts. The words are the reasons that we give for what we emotionally, and it's more than just emotionally, what our subconscious mind wants. So our subconscious mind is really in charge of us. But, and so they've had people with who had the right and the left side of the brain separated. And they've done studies on these people back before it was really ethical, but we've got some great data, and some of it currently is more ethical, but we're able to realize that you can speak directly to the subconscious mind by using the right or left eyeball, or the observing what the right or left hand does, and you can see there's something called ghost hand, where the subconscious mind wants something and the conscious mind, because it is dealing with words, doesn't want something, or vice versa. And so the conscious mind reaches out to grab something, and it's like you have a ghost arm. That left arm is going to reach out and grab your right hand and try to stop it from doing something, and you're not in control. But that's how it is with your beliefs, is you are a rider on an elephant. And, this is, again, from The Righteous Mind and from other books from the author. I forget his name right now. But, science has shown that our beliefs, especially emotionally charged, political and religious and anything that has to do with, ethics, all of that is governed by your subconscious, and you just think, you just use, so your subconscious says, this is what we believe, and your mind doesn't even know what's going on, but it's like, yeah, that's what I believe. And then you ask your conscious part of yourself, if it's something that you really want to believe, your subconscious wants to believe, your subconscious task your words with explaining why you can believe that. And so it's really, like I say, the subconscious part of you that's in charge. But you're just fabricating all of these lies, and they really are lies, and it's just like again, from The Righteous Mind, the book that explains all this, it's like a press secretary, that just explains whatever the president does. The press secretary doesn't have, the rights to make any decisions. And that's just like what our conscious mind is. It's not making decisions. It's just explaining why you subconsciously decided to do something or believe something, and believe something politically or religious. And so to tie this all together, people of the future will look at us and look at our leaders and realize that we are lying to ourselves. We are not using our rational brains. We are not using reason. We are not using logic. We are not using Evidence-based discussions. Our founding fathers, our first two presidents, George Washington and John Adams, said, hey, probably shouldn't do political parties because, political parties are going to destroy America, this thing that we've set up. And we're just like, forget you. We know what we're doing. And then we went ahead with political parties. The people of the future are going to say, hey, these political parties are confirmation bias machines. They only present the facts that support their side. And, the media currently is like a drug dealer. They just send out all of the dopamine. My side's right, the other side is evil, or my side's good and the other side's dumb. My side's smart and the other side's dumb. My side's smart and the other side's hopelessly naive. It's so the media is just peddling all of this confirmation bias, my side bias, and it's hilarious because the ancient Egyptians had this con had a god of wisdom and goddess of wisdom, and her name was Mat, MAAT, Mat, and she had scales, and it's thought that Lady Justice evolved from this ancient concept of, looking at both sides of an issue. And Lady Justice was blindfolded, to remove her bias. And so our ancestors understood, hey, maybe we should be drunk so that we don't hold back anything, and we don't, let's look at our state of consciousness when we're making decisions. And our Egyptian and Enlightenment ancestors also understood, hey, let's look at both sides of the issue. But then for some reason we devolved into this dark ages of ignorance where we just say, hey, let's have political parties that tell us what we want to hear and media that just tells us what we want to hear, and let's let have our leaders just be like, self-righteous, justified in their own wisdom and awesomeness, and let's not even try to look at the pros and cons within each individual. Let's not set up systems that look at pros and cons. We're going to have a Republican Party with all of the reasons to agree with small government, and we're going to have a Democratic Party with all of the reasons on their website to agree with a large government, and we're just going to think that this is going to work. And that's what I think will be embarrassing, is our level of dopamine addiction and all of this my team, your team thinking that we have with regard to the very important decisions that we're making and how stupid we are. We are basically addicted to drugs, and we're all just drug addicts that won't even admit that we're addicted. And that's our problem. Okay, that's all. Bye.